Well, as we're often do this time of the year, I'm going to continue on with a few more thoughts about Thanksgiving before we pick up next week, Lord willing, again in Galatians. And I reflected on this week. I just looked about me, my family, my mom's up here with me, my kids, my grandkids. I look at the church family, all you folks out there. All the many blessings the Lord pours out upon us, we don't even think about so often. And how often have I said, I just feel like God's spoiled child sometimes. I just like so much more than I deserve. Certainly much, much more than I could ever have earned. And the Lord's been pleased to bless with that. I think of my wife and the journey he's brought us on and what he's taught us through the years, Lord's church. I could go on and on. I gave you all opportunity to say something on Thanksgiving. If you're still motivated, you want to say something right now, you can before I get started. If barring that, I'll go on. Anybody, something that you need to say now? Well, we thank our Heavenly Father for all that he bestows upon us. Okay, I'm going to look at a passage of scripture over in Psalm 66. And I think it speaks and it kind of looks towards Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving in the past, Thanksgiving in the present, Thanksgiving in the future. And what I find interesting, there's so many different passages throughout scripture that you see this same sort of pattern. Where we're called upon to reflect on what God's done in the past, that we might have assurance in the present and that true hope for the future. And the psalmist writes about that more in Psalm 66, and we'll just reflect on a few of the verses, but I'm going to read the psalm. Psalm 66, to the chief musician, a song or psalm. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Selah. That word Selah, when you come across it in the Psalms, it's a pause. The Psalms were songs, but it's really, as we read it, it's kind of telling us, stop and think about that a minute. Pause. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing towards the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. We have lots to be thankful for. Some folks might look around today and say, given the current circumstances, you know, why do we have anything to give thanks about? You know, the country's crumbling. The economy's about to go in the can, I believe. There's no morals. There's no fear of God. Scriptures talk about such times as well. In Psalm 11, the psalmist asks in Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we live in troubled times. From the human perspective, there's much for which we could fall into despair. On every hand, there's wars and rumors of wars. There's crime. There's violence. Again, an economy and its death throes. Then we look about and there's a breakdown of our common culture. A breakdown of the family. A breakdown of traditional values. The Lord said in Luke 21, verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, God is faithful. We have much to thank him for, in spite of what may seem to be afflictions and temporary problems. God is faithful in the past, God is faithful in the present, and God will certainly be faithful in the future. There are several places in this psalm we might look at, but I'm just going to pull a few verses to look at God's faithfulness throughout all time. God's faithfulness in the past, we might look to verses 5 and 6 there, which say, come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doings towards the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. Now God was faithful to the children of Israel. He turned the sea into dry land. The patriarchs of Israel took God at his word. They stepped out in faith. The prophets courageously spoke this, thus saith the Lord of Scripture. The psalmist sang songs of praise in the darkest of days. And we can look back on God's faithfulness. And we can look back as individuals. We can look back, I trust, as families. We can certainly look back as a church. No, the Lord was faithful at all these points in the past. Just as he turned the seeds of dry land for Israel. He's been faithful and met every one of our needs. You know, we as Christians, we as Southerners, we also have a godly heritage. And God used them and laid the foundations, even as he had laid the foundation of Israel as they crossed through the Red Sea. God is faithful. And when we remember what he's done in the past, and when we remember those he's used in the past, we are extolling his faithfulness. I know the world's different and other folks have some different things, but around this place, we have like two big holidays a year. It's Thanksgiving and Confederate Memorial Day. And all of those reflect on God's faithfulness and what God has accomplished in the past. And the redemption that's spoken of here by the psalmist of Israel, and as we've been talking about this in Galatians, it's a picture. It's a type of God's redemption of his elect. Those that were purchased by Christ's atoning death. I was reflecting on this. I forget what came up, one of the songs or whatever, and the arguments you get into folks about, you know, trying to order the decrees of God and trying to kind of let God off the hook about something. Listen, here's the bottom line. It just kind of dawned on me today. I don't know if it has specific to do with this, but we, the elect, were in Christ before we were in Adam. Now, that kind of settles it all for me. The elect were in Christ before they were in Adam. God gave an elect people to Christ, and then he determined to allow them to fall in Adam, that he might redeem them. And so, yes, God determined all those things. And we were in Christ before the foundation of the world. And God is faithful to his elect people. We look back on our own heritage, the heritage of Israel we see in the scriptures, our own heritage as Americans, as Southerners, as Baptists. And we see how God was faithful to each of those throughout the ages. We were talking on Thanksgiving, and the Kellers weren't as familiar with, you know, the Baptist persecution in the past. And the Baptists were severely persecuted by the Protestants in America. The Daughters of Rome. And I think the scriptures make it abundantly clear that's exactly what those religious societies are. They're not churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is not to say that there aren't some of God's elect in there. By his grace, he may bring some of them out and to identify with his true churches. But those organizations have persecuted the truth and persecuted the people of God. But God's been faithful. We're here today. God brings all of his elect to himself. Well, that's a lot to be thankful for. God's given us this little fellowship. Jesus Christ died for the elect. He also died for his church, and he loved his church. Even as a husband's to love a wife. That special relationship that are to be with those that are chosen to be a part of his bride. God's been pleased to allow us to grow in grace and to grow in knowledge. In some ways, you know, I can look back when I graduated from seminary, and back then I was a whole lot smarter because I knew everything. But now I know I don't know hardly anything at all. And so maybe in reality I'm really smarter. You know, the Lord's helped me to see my own ignorance. He's graciously taught. He's allowed me to grow in grace by his goodness. And so God's been faithful in the past to all of us as individuals, as families, as a church. And I'm sure men would look at all those things. They wouldn't count any of it for much. But I want you to know, for the elect of God, for the people of God, it's everything. To us, it's all. So our God has been faithful in the past, and we thank Him for that. Our God is faithful also in the present. A couple verses we can look at here in verses 8 and 9. It says, "Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard." Look here. "Which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved." God holds our soul in life. He suffers not our feet to be moved. God in the present sustains everything. Listen, God is not an absentee God. You know, deism teaches that there's some God and He may have created some things. He kind of wound up a clock and He left it alone, and that's kind of going the way it is. That's part of Masonry and a lot of these other false religions and cults. God is active in history. God is active in the life of His people. And God sustains. And if God didn't keep His hand on everything, it would be gone in an instant. That's God's faithfulness in the present. Hebrews 1 and verse 3 says, "Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." Christ sustains everything. Without His sustaining power, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't last an instant. He's active. Colossians 1 and verse 17 says, "And He, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is before all things, and by Him all things consist." And try to wrap your little pea brain around that, you know. It's all by His sustaining grace. And He upholds us all. And what, regardless of what comes our way, He holdeth our souls in life. We're in His hands. No one can take us from them. Regardless of what the enemy may do, regardless of what those who rail against us may do, He sustains us. Psalmist says, He suffereth not our feet to be moved. God is active in the lives of His people day by day and moment by moment. You can rest in that. One of my favorite passages in Scripture, the Old Testament saint Job. You read the book of Job. Job didn't understand all that was going on. And some people talk about the patience of Job, but there were times he seemed to maybe be on the edge of not having so much patience either. But he knew God was in control. He knew His Redeemer lived. And Job could say in Job 13:15, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And I will maintain mine own ways before Him." Job says, "Though He slays me, I'll trust Him. And I'm going to keep on doing right. I'm going to keep on doing what He had me to do. I'll maintain my ways before Him." You can put this down. You can put this in the bank. You can engrave it in stone. You can trust God. You can trust God. The psalmist said in Psalm 37, verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Trust in the Lord and do good. Do the right thing. Trust God. Don't worry about the results. Don't worry about what men may say or what men may do. Trust in the Lord and do good. God sustains us in the present. And we can thank Him for that. God was faithful in the past. God is faithful in the present, moment by moment and day by day. And God is faithful and deserves thanksgiving for what's yet to come. Just one verse from the passage there in the Psalm. In verse 4 says this: "All the earth shall worship thee and sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah." All they can rail against God today. And you can see the Darwinists and the atheists and the socialists and the progress. All these folks can rail against. Folks, listen. All the earth shall worship thee. They're going to have to acknowledge who he is. They may not want to do it now. He's going to appear in glory. He is the Lord. And they're going to acknowledge it. Paul wrote in Philippians, beginning verse 9, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Jehovah God. Jesus Christ is the I Am that was in the burning bush. The Lord said, "Except you believe that I am he, ye shall die, ye shall perish in your sins." And the elect of God are brought to see these things and embrace these things in this life. But in the time to come, folks are going to have to acknowledge it, because that's who he is. All the earth shall worship thee. Folks, that's another one of them hard shells of Scripture. They want to call me a hard shell? Okay, go ahead. All the earth shall worship thee. Period, end of sentence. All that God wills shall be accomplished. We don't really know a whole lot. I don't, anyway. We don't have to know a whole lot. What you have to know is God is going to prevail. God's decree will be accomplished in every detail. And God loves his elect with an everlasting love. God is sovereign. And God loves his people. That's really about all we need to know. Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." I love thee with an everlasting love. And so with loving kindness I drew you to myself. Didn't say, "Well, I waited to see what you would do, and waited to see if you'd love me first, and then decide if I might love you." No! That's what the Arminian will tell you. Maybe not exactly those words. Some of them in almost those words. No, he loved us with an everlasting love. And therefore he drew us. It's all of him, and it's all by his grace. And the victory will be his. Yeah. If we don't have anything else to be thankful for, and we have to, the victory will be his. John writes in Revelation 22, verse 20, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. God is sovereign. He loves his people with an everlasting love. Bottom line, that's really all we really need to know. And then verse 7 there in back in the Psalm says this, he ruleth by his power forever. Forever means, I got to use my little pea brain, from eternity past to eternity future. Of course, there's just eternity. The time is something that God created for us, and limit is limited. But eternity is not limited. He ruled by his power forever. And so I pray that the Lord might be pleased to keep us thankful. The Lord might be pleased to keep us faithful. Because he is a sovereign God that loves his people with an everlasting love. And may his name be ever praised. Y'all Selah. Okay? Let's take our hymnal and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn, number 379. Zion's Hill, number 379.
The day of
shall go and dwell on Zion's hill. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity to gather as your people. Father, we thank you for each one that's here. We thank you for bringing us together. Lord, I thank you especially for bringing my mother here from South Florida and keeping her safe. And we pray you be with her as she returns home this week. Father, as we reflect this week upon your faithfulness and raise up thanksgiving unto thee as we ought to do all the time. Lord, as we reflect upon your faithfulness in the past and in the present and in the future. Lord, as we realize that you rule by your power forever. And Lord, as we realize as well that you loved your elect with an everlasting love. Father, we pray in the light of those things that we might be faithful. We might seek to do all that you would command us to do. And we might be used of thee. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for our Savior, his all-sufficient and atoning death. Thank you, Lord, for the "it is finished" of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the work of the Spirit that drew us to yourself. Thank you, Lord, for this, your church, for one another, for the brethren, Lord, for the multitude of blessings that you pour out on us. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.